Is that bothering you, bro? Is that
objectionable?
Right. Start the podcast?
Let's start the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Buena Vista, episode 372. I am Ben, and welcome to Pearsonschlutz, the most sensible nightclub in Germany. Everyone is here having a delightfully sensible time. The music is at a reasonable volume, the snacks are light, and we close at 9 p.m. With me, sort of sensibly bobbing his head to the music, it's Theo. Hi, Theo.
Hello.
Hello. Guten Tag. Wie geht's?
Oh, guten Tag. I am enjoying this sensible music here in, where are we?
Germany. Pearsonschlutz.
Pearsonschlutz, Berlin.
Sehr gut. It is not too fast, so you don't have to dance very hard.
Not like the East Side clubs.
Also with me, catching up on some work, but also having a pleasant time, it's Lucy. Hi, Lucy.
Hello. I worked for 1.5 hours, and now it's time for cigarettes.
Are you on the Pomodoro cigarette technique?
Yeah.
Very good for productivity, but also it is a little bit fun. Also with me, wriggling around in the trough, hungrily demanding peace. He's on French now. It's the peace pig. Hi, Andrew.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm simply loving this. I have my 4-day week, and then I have 3 days in the trough.
In the trough.
I'm a little French too. also, can I say these gluten-free muffins are super?
I would not recommend eating them in the trough, but I'm not going to tell you what to do.
I eat them before I get into the trough, otherwise I fill up on the piss.
I think it's very good that... is it better or worse that everyone is very well hydrated? Yeah, it's a sensible nightclub.
Oh, it's better. Well...
You'd hate it if you showed up at the piss club and there was no piss.
Well, on balance, you know, I like when the piss is very pissy, but also more hydration equals more piss for me.
That is the piss pig's dilemma.
The piss pig's dilemma. Concentrated piss or more piss?
Do you think a piss pig is mad if it's that really clear piss?
Yeah.
Like it's basically water. I reckon they love it. As long as it's coming out hot, steady stream, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to ask around. Yeah, I don't want 200 mils of like Mountain Dew colored shit. I want a torrent.
I just think you don't look a piss horse in the dick hole.
Yeah. that's right.
I'm always saying it.
Because you don't want to get it in your eyes, first of all.
Oh, it's actually, you can use it to disinfect wounds. If you have an issue with your eye, just get someone to piss directly
into it.
Yeah,
the government's actually keeping it.
Yep.
Yeah, you can use it to treat cancer, COVID, all kinds of stuff, actually.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is on the beat.
Flagged on Spotify. Thank you.
Again, we're back, baby.
this intro is clashing with my own learned experience of Germany, which, as I have told on the pod before, we went to Berlin New Year's and it was the fucking purge.
Yeah.
It was the psycho day for like you would imagine the day after the revolution and everyone's just getting fucked up in a town square and like throwing champagne bottles and going nuts.
Yeah, except for them it's just sort of like we're just having a little bit of fun.
A little bit of fun. And then the next day, they all come out and they like sweep the streets.
Like the
tidy
people?
Up. Yeah.
The populace. See, this is how Europe gets freedom done in a smarter way.
That's right. Why we can't have anything.
No one in Australia would be cleaning up.
Soundtrack by Moderat.
Yeah.
Everybody's making eye contact with each other and going, ooh.
Yeah. Let's hope someone's going to. I'm not, because I'm going over there, but
it's just not the same if you're at the Piss Pig Club and the music playing is Pendulum.
Yeah, imagine.
Just hits different when Pendulum's on at the Piss Pig Club
tonight on this small planet. Hey, Pendulum, they're technically music. There's other kinds of music out there. I used to listen to a shitload of Pendulum. Deeply embarrassing. Did you just raise your hand, Theo?
I meant to mute. Look, I preemptively mute John Cunt has something to say.
Has something to say.
The thing that we use has one of those annoying functions where someone who has something they want to say can digitally raise their hand.
It actually works.
And look, I'm going to defend for a moment video conferencing of somebody who works from home. It does work in a context where
sounds
you have
civilized.
A bunch of people in a meeting.
We're all talking over each other.
Yeah, I'm talking and like everybody's just waiting for a break in what I'm saying and there isn't one coming.
Yeah.
You know? So you need to put your hand up and then I'll just say, oh, your turn.
Oh, orange mousse. Oh, you've got, lady.
Yeah.
You've got something to say.
You've got something to say that may invalidate the entire like 5 minute monologue this other guy's been on. Like
orange mousse Wallini,
I think.
So just to be clear for the listener, this is Theo's chosen name in the software.
I was not going to look up the spelling of Mussolini, so I just sort of
That's just Mussolini.
Last week it was mango Mussolini, and I thought he was talking about like some sort of Trump parfait kind of joke.
Turns out he just can't spell Mussolini.
No, anyway, look, I preemptively mute myself before the segment theme plays so that you're not getting like feedback through my headphones.
Oh, because you could feel me building up.
I could feel you building up, but I thought, you know what? I'm not ready for him to go yet.
I'm gonna raise.
I know
my
he
hand.
Really wants
let's
to go.
Let's just stay here a little longer.
But let's just spend some more time with this feeling.
Wait, so while we're on this, this is
edging?
Some stuff we should chat about. Yeah, you guys ever heard of the pornographic genre known as the ruined orgasm?
Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
I think so.
No, we were talking about this when we were talking on that bonus episode where we were talking about sneeze fetishism and how lots of the people were like, I fucking love it when a big sneeze gets stifled. And I was immediately like, ruined orgasm. Like too fast?
I don't understand that one at all. And I understand. I mean, I can put myself into the mindset of most of that
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but try not to come. Why am I here? What do you think I came here for?
What if the best part of the orgasm, we just kind of wrecked it for you, you know?
What if you got distracted by a car door slamming right at the moment of ejaculation?
What if you went to a patisserie and you got down, you kind of put your hands on your knees and you looked in the glass display and there was all this beautiful stuff in there and you were like, wow, these guys are real. They're not getting this frozen from somewhere else. They are up at 3 a.m. They are folding butter into that pastry. They are laminating those layers of croissant and it looks absolutely perfect. And then you finally decided what you were going to have with your coffee and they handed it to you. And then a second staff member came over and took it out of your hand and put it down on the pavement outside and stepped on it.
That sounds kind of hot, actually.
Yeah.
You describe
okay,
it.
Okay, maybe you
like
do get the ruined orgasm.
Taller than me? Is she maybe, like, what? Yeah.
Is she rude to me when she does it?
She has broad shoulders. Like, she obviously goes to the gym, you know, a lot. But she's, it's like, hey, with a little work, you could go in amateur bodybuilding competitions. Yeah.
But she doesn't stick around either. Like, you're like, hey, come back. And she's like already gone. You can't see her anymore. It's just you and the smashed patisserie.
And now you've got to clean it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You started to say, hey, do you work out? She's already on her way back to the kitchen. You're just kind of petering out, feeling embarrassed.
With the ruined orgasm thing, does a little bit come out?
Well, no, the orgasm still happens.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Badly. So a little bit comes out, but just
I guess
like,
it's just not very good.
Well, it's ruined. It's ruined.
It's ruined.
It's ruined. It's ruined. So you can't. Yeah. So it's not like there's no orgasm, and then you get to have another crack at it later on. It's you've had one and it wasn't very good.
Man, this is so good.
Beginner's Guide to
rules.
Ruined Orgasm, healthline.com.
Okay.
And Ben still hasn't managed to fire his
I'll get there eventually. This is amazing. A ruined orgasm is typically a type of control play found in the BDSM community.
So weird.
It's the submissive person strange. Highly aroused and leaves them hanging to experience a very low quality, low to no sensation type of orgasm. Oh, you got a dud? I hate it when I get a dud.
Yeah.
I'll
get you a tissue.
I feel like this is maybe a step too far for me. You want all of the play to be around everything else.
But then at the end, you want to kind of like, you want to be gushing?
Yeah. It's time, of course, for Rock and Roll Watch.
Hey, here's something you guys might not know about me. I love rock and roll.
Yes. Well, yes. Rock and roll is real. It's raw. It's electric. It's powerful.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the newest things. Kind of music.
I kind of feel like rock and roll has been superseded by other genres that contain all of the elements in rock and roll, but better and more further explored.
Like, this guy sounds like he doesn't know how to rock.
Like prog metal, maybe.
Yeah. Prog metal.
Rock and roll's in four. This one's in five.
Symphonic metal.
So what you're saying is you'd like it, you'd like, you know, some classic like Back in Black era AC/DC, but you'd like it to be a bit more work.
Yeah, longer.
Yeah, less harder fun to listen to.
Yeah. You sort of, every now and then you just kind of wince because there's been like a time signature change or something, or they stopped a riff that was really good to do one that sucks.
Like, well, they go 4-4, 4-4, 4-4, and then 5-4 in the last phrase.
Yeah, I like sounds that aren't pleasing to the ear.
Yeah. I like sort of nodding my head and giving myself whiplash.
Yeah. Ben, I mean, Theo listening to like his 185th AC/DC song and goes, you know, maybe after this song about either rocking out or having sex with a teen, maybe there's something else out there.
I'm just saying that whoever that guy is, Jonathan Bon Scott. Angus
Scott.
Young, or is he the guitarist?
Bon Scott was the original singer.
Brian Johnson
was the replacement singer after Bon Scott's untimely demise.
Okay.
Angus Young is the guitarist.
Look what you did,
Scotland. I'm just saying.
You did this.
It sounds like they could do that all day long.
Yeah. And they do.
For example, the first track off of the final Dillinger Escape Plan album, Greg Puciato recorded the vocals and then threw up and passed out.
Yeah. That's
I'm just
awesome.
Saying there's like sort of, if you really want to rock out, you can't do it all day. You've got
well,
to kind of put yourself
I put
in
it
hospital
to you
afterwards.
That maybe Dillinger Escape Plan should focus on developing like the ability to work at a sustainable pace.
Yes,
you know.
Oh,
if
they
want to have
no, they didn't. They broke up because
longevity
they
in
do
your
that.
Well, see, that proves the point. If you want to have longevity in your career,
yeah. Hey, Greg Puciato, maybe calm down.
Yeah, a candle that burns at half the pace sticks around for longer.
That's right.
You can enjoy it.
This comes to us from East Idaho News. High school friends revive alternative rock band with launch of music video.
It sounds like a Hard Times satire headline.
Sure.
Yeah. Like this is...
They got 3 out of 5 on whatever the homegrown thing of Triple J is.
Yeah.
What's
Battle of the Bands
homegrown?
Or whatever.
What is that called? That's going to fucking annoy me now.
Home and Hosed.
No, the website.
Unearthed.
Thank you, Lizzie. Yeah. A bunch of Australian listeners going fucking feral right now.
Max LaVerne throwing his radio through the window.
Max, we love you. No, please. We need you. Before we get into the story, I want to be honest with you that I felt a bit of a moral quandary about doing this one.
Didn't stop you though, did it?
It didn't because I turned to my beautiful wife, who was beside me while I was doing this, and I said, is it too mean to make fun of these guys because they're just like regular guys who were friends in high school and they started playing music? And before she had a chance to reply, I said, who cares? I'm doing it anyway.
Nah, I'll put it into the podcast where we have a regular segment making jokes about people who recently died.
I mean, the dead people aren't going to read it.
No, these they're not going to write in.
These guys aren't going to hear it. Sorry,
chances of a family member hearing the podcast we all go,
so
oopsies. Yeah.
Don't fucking comment on their YouTube video saying, Punta Vista sent me here.
Yeah, do not do that.
Please don't do that.
Please experience the same kind of social anxiety you experience everywhere else.
Yes, God,
you know how people. You know how people like live stream, you know, people like live stream funerals and weddings and stuff now for family members who can't be there.
Yeah. Imagine. Punta Vista sent me here.
Oh, I see why it's a closed casket.
To be clear, do not do that.
Don't ever say Punta Vista sent me here unless you have a really good feeling that it's going to get us lots of new listeners.
Yeah.
Or you think you're going to get a really good laugh.
Yeah. Yes. Unless you've
Punta Vista sent me.
You've spray painted it to a shirt right before you kicked the doors open and started. After years of going their separate ways.
What?
What do you mean?
What?
How long did it take? See,
all right, bye.
Were they all walking in different directions simultaneously this whole time?
I've been to dinner parties like that.
I would say most social events.
All right. Well, bye. Okay. Well, we're going now.
You know that? You know that trope in like some old horror movies where they're like, and then they cut the monster up into pieces and took it to the four corners of the world to bury their different pieces. You ever seen that happen in a movie?
Yeah.
They were all doing that. They just went their separate ways, and they just didn't stop. Each of these guys on their own like kung fu style odyssey. They're stopping in small towns. They're helping people. They're like, "What? How do I thank you? Why are you even in my town, stranger?" And they go, "Me? I'm just going my separate way.
I'm still going my separate way
from my friends. We were in a band.
Yeah, me and Steve. We've been going our separate ways for a while now.
for 12 years.
Has it really been 12 years, they say?
After years of having been gone their separate way, three Highland High School class of 2009 friends, Nicholas Paz, Samuel Matkin, and Jeremy Bristol, have reunited to revive their alternative rock band, The Elefino Project.
I think I'm getting a vibe of what kind of a band. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I think if your band name has Project in the title, it's got to be so good.
Yeah, I'm getting Mars Volta vibes from the Elefino Project. I'm getting serious vibes.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be as good as the Mars Volta.
Yeah, it's like contorting his neck in a weird way.
Keep an open mind. Keep an open mind.
I mean, like Mars Volta's really...
Yeah, we know how you feel about Mars Volta.
One half really good albums.
The band members describe themselves as, quote, like-minded musicians who share a passion for making music that intercepts art and activism.
None of these people know what words mean, do they?
No.
Are the East Idaho News?
East Idaho News and being like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, they should be fucking editing this state. Music that not only entertains but provokes thought, but intercepts art and activism.
Hey,
no.
Stop.
I have intercepted the art.
Yeah.
The band's comeback kicks off with the recent release of a music video for Calculate, a song they originally recorded in 2011. No. Yeah, that sounds like some shit you'd listen to, right there.
Yeah.
No, it isn't. This is the shit that's too stupid for me to listen to. This is like the Gorilla Museum Sleepy Time project or whatever, where I go like, you know what? Not for me. A little bit too silly to know what their politics are. What was that a reference to, the Gorilla Museum?
Is it like a band's Penguin Cafe Orchestra? Is that the kind
of
thing?
No, like as in that's the name of their band.
Is that a real band?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It's like how all of Les Claypool's subsequent projects after Primus are all named in such a whimsical fashion that I cannot bring myself to listen to them.
No, why would you?
Flying Frog Brigade my ass, steampunk fucking...
Sleeptime Gorilla Museum.
Kill Joe Biden. The song delivers a bold statement on the country's national debt crisis and has already exceeded over 8,000 views on YouTube in just a few weeks.
A bold statement on the national debt crisis. Calculate
how much debt we're in.
Yeah.
Like about the military spending or?
I don't think it's that.
Probably not that, is it?
I think it's probably the opposite.
Quote, since our formation in 2011, we've cultivated a unique musical identity that reflects our diverse creative, said Bristol, the band's drummer.
Three guys, just to be clear.
Why are you interviewing the drummer?
Yeah, this guy's not even famous. You couldn't get the singer?
He was busy. He was otherwise occupied. As good friends, we thrive on the synergy of our creative process, constantly pushing each other to evolve and experiment with our music. The Elefino Project's lead singer, Paz, wrote the song around guitar player Matkin's riffs, saying, the lyrics just hit me one day. At the time, our country was $14 trillion in debt. The song is even more relevant now. The key talking point from the song is, we're in an economic crisis. Are you prepared?
Prepared for what?
When the shit hits the fan, when the shit pops off. When you got to bug out or it's bug
not,
in.
It's not real. Like, it's made up.
The debt?
The debt.
No, it's... Every day I walk around and go, ah, the debt.
Oh,
dragging me down.
I wish we were in surplus.
Oh, watch out when they call in the debts.
Yeah.
It's such a funny political issue to have. Just to cover the country's debt.
We're in surplus now, aren't we, Australia? Did we get into surplus? Did Albert Greasy get us into surplus?
I think we stopped doing good things. And
we stopped paying for stuff.
We started paying to go to the doctor and now we're in a surplus.
Like, how good does it feel, though? Like, on a day-to-day basis, you wake up and you're like, oh, fuck yeah, we're in surplus. Yes.
We're in surplus. That's money in the bank.
My teeth are falling out of my head. We're in surplus, baby. Thanks,
and that bank
Albert Greasy.
Is the IMF.
You know how Australian politicians would keep likening the national debt and the budget and stuff to, like, your household credit card?
Oh, having a balanced household budget?
Yeah. You got to pay. Hey, you got to pay off the credit card at the end of the month.
You got to be sensible before you can have
all this debt. The problem is that, like, when you pay off your own credit card, feels great. Hearing about somebody else's credit card getting paid off, give a fuck. That credit card was imaginary. Ben, did you listen to the song Calculate?
Yeah, I've got a clip to play, so no spoilers, please.
Okay.
I'm kind of in two places because this could be really good. Like, sometimes the stupidest fake smart people write the best, like, prog rock kind of shit.
Sometimes you like... Buddy. You hear a really wonderful piece of music and you read the lyrics and you're like, oh, you have never had an interesting thought in your entire life, but you're a wizard with a guitar. The music video, Calculate, was produced by their friend Tucker Robertson of Bandit Media in Rexburg. Robertson provided the stock footage at the beginning of the video, reflecting the social issues in the song lyrics. The stock footage they're talking about is like kind of like the Purge type stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because it's about the shit popping off.
Yeah, when the debt gets too bad.
Because of the debt.
And a lot of shots of, like, the stock market, you know.
Yeah, tickers going bad, whatever.
Kind of when the money goes
businessmen bad. With their heads in their hands.
Yeah. You ever notice we're kind of chained to our phones? however, the rest of the video was filmed in the Massacre Rocks area outside of American Falls with the help of Robertson, the band's publicist, Justin Swafford. And a drone. Quote, I knew exactly where I wanted to shoot this video. It's an amazing place where I grew up hunting coyotes, said Paz. We had a blast shooting the video on the cliff. What a great place to portray the last ones to survive.
Because of the debt.
Yeah, because of the debt. These guys are up on a hill.
I don't feel bad making fun of these people.
Yeah, they're conservative, so it's okay.
Yep.
There's a video of a photo of these guys up there while they're shooting the video, and one of them sort of turned his hip towards the camera to show that he's got a gun.
Oh.
Because he's going to need it.
It's cool to
shoot the debt.
Yeah.
I like how they're like, hey, 14 years ago, the national debt was high, and we were all freaking out about it ruining the world. And guess what? The national debt is still high. And it's also still just about to kill us all.
Yeah. Only 4 takes were needed for the scene on the cliff, but overall, the video took about 6 months to complete.
Huh?
If you're like a local band, it should probably take you like 2 days to shoot a music video.
Yeah, probably just don't worry about it. Because don't probably stress. Not many people are going to watch it.
They're just emailing what's his name the whole time, like, hey, man, you gotten around to the video yet?
Hey,
you know when we went and recorded all that stuff?
You're really busy. Maybe if you could just find the SD cards and just I could come and pick them up and we could just edit it?
Yeah.
No, I committed to it and I'm gonna see
it through.
And then he hangs up the phone and he gets his Steam Deck back out and he's just on it, you know? Till the next message, and he's like, "No, I'm actually doing it right now."
My computer's got like the new OS.
I think I got a virus on my PC. I think I got a virus.
Anyway. You know what? I've been harsh. It's got 8,000 views.
Oh, sweet! This is viral.
Yeah, probably this article.
It's about as many people as listen to our episodes. So, yeah,
so pretty popular.
I think these guys are huge. While some may think Calculate is a little dark and scary, the band members are funny and carefree. Isn't that so funny that the darkest people are also like the funniest people?
That is so true.
Quote, we approach serious topics with a light heart. We have a sense of humor interwoven into our songwriting, said Bristol. yet we want our audience to also reflect on the deeper meaning behind our lyrics. The national debt.
The national debt. Hey, can we all pause the pit for a second?
Can talk about something serious for a minute.
Can you stop?
Bring out a chart. So here.
Make some room. Make some room. Make some room. I want to see a big hole in that pit for this chart.
They're like, they go into like an extended breakdown in the middle of the song, but like as one dude's just speaking over the top with facts and figures, the breakdown just kind of peters out. It just sort of peters out, and then all of a sudden it's a TED talk, you know?
About Bidenomics. The band's sense of humor is evident in the juxtaposition at the end of the music video. Quote, people will think we'll come out of the cave with guns as the last man standing. Instead, we come out with our guitars.
Oh, hell yeah. That's fucking sick.
Yeah, that's awesome, funny. Dude.
Now that the Elefino project is back together making music, they already have a new song and music video in the works called Danger, also filmed in East Idaho.
It's also about the national debt.
Whole album.
Music video on track for completion 2029.
Quote, I feel like the universe has brought us back together again. We are boosting each other's ambition and sharing some powerful messages, said Matkin. Now, that's dope. Do you guys want to hear 40 seconds of the song
yes.
Calculate?
Then
more than anything.
Here we go.
Calculate this 7 billion and counting. I bet you he is just in awe. Growing and striving, this market is thriving, and one day it'll collapse. Wait and see, goodbye economy, just from one mishap. And what's gonna happen when everyone has to fend for themselves? You better get out of the city fast. It'll turn into hell.
Because
I don't know what I expected, but it's probably that.
It really makes you think.
At all.
It really makes you think about killing your neighbors, I guess.
Yeah.
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 One day the debt's going to be so bad, I'm going to get my gun and start blasting my neighbors.
Yeah.
Every man for himself.
Rule. I guess. Fucking awesome.
I don't get the sense from the things they've said in the interview and I suppose their priorities, how long it's taken to finish the video, for example. I don't get the sense that they themselves are actively engaged in prepping to evacuate a major city. Like I more sort of get the vibe that they are in a band on the side of their jobs.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think they're like I don't think they're like training a militia in the woods or anything. Yeah. Just from the sounds of that.
But neither are we.
No, it's true. Yeah. You know.
On their Facebook they've got a picture of the US debt clock. Like they're posting about the debt on their Facebook page, which has 249 likes. I'm so sorry if any of you guys listen to the show.
Yeah, if you guys are like big fans.
The lamest thing you could possibly be obsessed with in your band.
Yeah.
The
like
national
make political
debt.
Music about it. It's very funny.
If you are listening to this, and you're probably not, let's be honest, can't feel good to have a bunch of strangers making fun of, you know, something you just do for a laugh with your friends that you really enjoy. You put a lot of creative work into. I will say the riff in the chorus, pretty catchy. Sorry I didn't include that in the clip. It was just getting a little long. The things that you've chosen to sing about are kind of dorky
Very
and don't
stupid.
Really have an impact.
Kind of the politics of a 12 or 13-year-old.
Yeah, so that doesn't really resonate. Your vibe is a little bit weird. I'm sorry, you probably don't have a lot of control over that. And the lyrics are very, they don't have a lyrical quality to them. They just sound kind of like you're talking a little bit and like you're trying to imitate.
But not in a cool, like, System of a Down way or something. Yeah. Like
maybe try doing a more Serge Tankian, like yelling statistics.
Yeah, maybe just yell a bit more.
Yeah. Because you're doing like
more like a lecture. It feels a bit more like a lecture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
You need to find your own voice because you're trying to do that when like Maynard Keenan sings like softly. That's what you're going for. You got to find your own thing, and you should do it by ripping off Serj Tankian.
Yeah.
Ben, I am just going to dispute what you're saying slightly, if only to say that your image and your vibe is kind of, that's like half of what a band has control over.
True. I mean, you know? I'm talking about the vibe of their personalities. You could probably like dress cooler.
Yeah.
Probably think about, like, have you thought about buying some like Russian big muffs and then making all of your songs about like wizard battles and like battles in swamps using arcane magic to sort of fight massive sea beasts?
And if you want,
weed.
It can be all a metaphor for the national debt.
Yes.
Oh, if you're tied to that.
Yes.
Yeah, a metaphor. That's why.
Do a metaphor. A kind of an allegory for it.
Easy. The song is called The Titan, and it sounds like it's about a big lumbering like giant, and he's got a giant like war hammer, and these like barbarians have all done bong hits, and they've got to fight the Titan. But it turns out the Titan is actually the national debt.
Yes. And then in the liner notes, like you can't actually pick it up from it because it's such a thorough allegory. But in the liner notes, you kind of make some reference to the national debt and people read that and go, oh, shit, is that a problem?
You could put the facts in the liner notes.
I didn't know that. And they might want to go and read up on it and kind of check when it's going to get called in by them.
And then they start thinking about like, oh, I'm kind of like the stoned barbarian hordes on their massive war beasts. Fighting the national debt by doing my part to fight the national debt, like the stuff I do in my day-to-day life to fight the national debt.
Yeah.
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 And one of you could dress like Wes Borland as well. Maybe like just mix it up a little
ideally.
Bit.
How do you dress like Wes Borland though? Which particular day of Wes Borland are we?
Any Wes Borland will do.
Yeah. Any Wes Borland in a storm. Any of those costumes would be cooler than what you got going on.
The East Idaho News would write about us if we like sent them like a publicity style email.
We should do our next billboard in there
Rexburg or just outside of Rexburg.
We should just tell them that we're all from East Idaho.
Yeah. What if we put up a billboard in East Idaho that says number one source of East Idaho news?
It's just a direct challenge. I reckon we could probably find the closest billboard to the homestead, I reckon, if we wanted. We are about due to do another fundraiser. I might do a little poking around on the internet. Ooh. Hey, imagine a band of strapped guys who are paranoid that the shit was about to pop off. There's probably a fair likelihood that some clipping report type shit might happen with them. It's time for the clipping report.
Strapped young lads.
Oh, there it is. Yes.
Yeah.
Not playing the theme. Country music singer Jason Sundance Head, a participant in season 11 of the US version of The Voice, accidentally shot himself in the abdomen after reaching into his Jeep to grab a handgun, which slipped out of its holster, bounced off the outside of his Jeep and fired.
Awesome. Incredible. Every...
Oh, no, I just Jeeped myself.
Yeah.
I'm his girlfriend holding his hand. Holding his hand on the way to the hospital. Thank you for making us safer.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for protecting us.
So was he wasn't in a The Voice related kind of like activity at the time.
No, this is unrelated to his participation in The Voice.
Reaching into it to grab the handgun.
Yeah.
But yeah. Nearly forgot my handgun.
I'm interpreting this sequence of events as he has reached into the Jeep to grab his handgun, which was in its holster at the time.
Yes, correct.
He's grabbed the holster. Perhaps he's not snapped properly. Hmm. The gun's fallen out of the holster, bounced off the outside of the Jeep, perhaps a flared mud guard.
Yeah.
Shot him in the guts.
Yeah. Can I do some artistic foreshadowing here? Now, Lucy, you are unwell at the moment. Is that true? Is that fair to say? And you're sort of rhythmically tapping your sinuses there,
sorry,
I guess, in an effort to free yourself up. I want you to just think about sinuses. This is going to come up in about 5 minutes, all right?
Yeah, I'm thinking about them.
This is foreshadowing.
Never not thinking about sinuses, you know?
A 43-year-old man at a service station in Kent, Washington, accidentally shot himself in the ass after repeatedly dropping a gun from the waistband of his pants and discharging it when replacing it one of those times.
What do you mean repeatedly?
Like, it kept falling out.
I need a number.
Well, every news story I read about this just said repeatedly.
I'm picturing he's wearing like tracksuit pants. He's not wearing
baggy
jeans.
They're like not holding it up. Guns too heavy.
One size,
they're falling down.
Yeah, the pants are one size too big. Or he's lost weight recently. Good on him. But he has not done his drawstring up tightly. He's putting it in and it's immediately sliding down the leg, popping out the bottom.
Yeah. I'm getting overwhelming flavors of Oaf.
Yes.
Here. This guy's... I'm thinking we're starting with Oaf.
Patient is presenting Oafishly.
First time he dropped the
DX
gun, he said,
Oaf.
Doo-hoo-hoo.
A man in Ferguson, Missouri was about to step into the shower when he was nearly hit by a round accidentally discharged in the apartment next to his.
God damn. This man's a hell of a time living in America.
You
we're
can't even
saying
be
this.
Showering. Like,
bullets zipping through. Like, we're always saying this, but it's so cool for this
anytime
to just never be a concern in my life.
Yeah. I can't imagine how mad this would make me. Like, I just get in the shower and get shot by my neighbor.
Is this guy showering furious in the set from the corn video clip for that one? Yep. Fucking, what's that one?
That's great.
Got the life? It. What are we?
No.
I don't. I'm it's just saying like, songs.
That's
song. That's, corn.
Doing Freak on a Leash.
Freak on a Leash. Is this guy showering from the set? Freak on a Leash.
Swish. Nothing but that.
Oh, and even when you don't get hit by the gun, even if you don't get hit by the bullet, now you got to deal with patching up a hole in the wall of your bloody
plus
bathroom.
Plus it's going to come back if I know anything about the bullet.
Let's spend more time on that for sure.
You got to call your landlord, and then like as you call him, you hear the ringtone and realize he's already in your apartment. That's also something you might have to deal with over there.
And he's like, "Oh, you got to pay for that."
I can't prove that you didn't put that hole in the wall, so. Yeah.
Might have fired that gun while you were showering.
Yeah.
A man in Fort Wayne, Indiana, was cleaning his gun when he accidentally shot himself in the foot. Now, that's nothing too crazy. That's classic.
Half of the course.
Yeah, I don't even include a lot of stories like that now because we've read hundreds of them. But he was being driven to hospital by a friend when the friend then crashed the car into a fire hydrant.
You got to laugh. You got to laugh in that moment, don't you? Look at each other and be like, what a day.
Monday.
I know it's not an original thought, but it's fucking GTA world over there.
It is. Man. He was taken to hospital by an ambulance from then, which also meant like that he would have had to have paid for an ambulance and all that shit as well. Like, that's just a horrible fucking day. Like, there's probably a reason his friend drove him to hospital in the first place instead of just calling an ambulance.
Yeah. Because they don't just show up there. They take your credit details that you have to cut a check first.
Yeah, although they charge you for the ambulance in other states in Australia. Here.
Well, I had my parents visiting.
Most of them, right?
Yeah.
I had my parents visiting this week, and my dad used to be in the Air Force, and he was talking about how, like, when we were posted overseas in the States, and they give you a card when you're in the Australian military that says, the Australian government will endeavor to repay any costs incurred by this person for whatever services.
Don't charge us money for shit that should be free. We're not used to it. Yeah. Here's our card.
Well, he was saying the reason they started doing this, so this was in the early 80s, and he was saying the reason they had started doing this a little bit before this point because they had some guy who was over there and had come off like a motorbike or his kid's skateboard or some shit and like hit his lower back on the curb, couldn't move his legs.
Oh, no.
They call an ambulance. The ambulance turns up and they say, right, we're here. where's your health insurance card?
And he says, where's your money?
And he says, my what? And they go, well, best of luck to you, and get back in the ambulance and leave. And they went, ah, we can't be having that.
Can't just leave them there. You just get like loaded into your friend's Taurus or something.
Yeah, and they still, even if you don't have insurance or whatever, they have to treat you for emergency medical stuff.
Yeah,
but like,
you just get an enormous bill.
It's like $250,000 pal. Oh. We come back and we take the stitches back out. A school resource officer at Stanton Middle School at Stanton Middle School in Wilmington, Delaware, accidentally fired his gun in a hallway while adjusting his holster. Students were in class at the time.
Right.
Is that like a janitor?
Good time for you.
No, the school resource officer is the cop. He's the cop that's the school with the preteens in it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And that guy's there to keep them safe.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't it be crazy if the shit popped off in America? Imagine what it would be like.
Oh, one financial mishap.
Yeah, and it could get nuts over there. A Southwest Airlines flight with 99 passengers aboard was taxiing in preparation for a flight to Indianapolis when it was struck by, quote, random gunfire.
Huh.
Great.
Just shooting at a plane.
Like nondescript gunfire?
Just don't know where it came
random
from.
Gunfire. Like the way
it
they're describing
it. Space?
That's right. Man, it's so fucked. I do have a bit of good news, though, sort of related to some clipping report stuff here. This is from the Park Rapids Enterprise, which is a newspaper serving Hubbard County in Minnesota. Fargo man accidentally shot while hunting in western Minnesota, released from hospital.
Oh, okay.
That's good. He's out.
Yeah.
A man who was accidentally shot while hunting in rural Norman County has been released from the hospital. According to the Norman County Sheriff's Office, Timothy Rusa, 37, of Fargo, was shot on the left side of his face by another member of his hunting party Saturday, November 9th, during the Minnesota Deer Opener in Lee Township, north of Purley.
The what?
The deer opener. I think it's like the start of the season.
Yeah, not a big can opener cracking open a deer.
No, you do that after you shoot them, right?
A deer opener is what I call my knife. Am I right, fellow hunters? The shooting was determined to be accidental and no criminal charges were filed, Norman County Sheriff's Office
hunters
said.
Hunters love to be shot in the face by another hunter.
Man, by your friend.
By a
dude that you're with. I read a story while I was looking for stuff for this about a guy in France who was picking mushrooms and got shot from 20 meters away by an 82-year-old wild boar hunter.
Did he think he was a boar?
Thought it was a boar, maybe.
Hunting for truffles, which is what boars are wont to do.
And also, this just feeds into my understanding that boars only live in Gaul.
Yes, that's right. Yes. They were in Gaulish France. Sorry, there's one more bit here about this hunting accident. Rusar was taken to a hospital in Fargo after being shot. According to a Friday release from the sheriff's office, Rusar was released from the hospital, though he still had a 12-gauge slug lodged in his sinus cavity.
Oh. That's got to be uncomfortable.
Don't trying to suck that one back.
Why are you letting him out?
Just
why is he going
to
home?
Blow your nose.
Oh.
Get this out.
This guy has a 12-gauge slug from a shotgun in his sinus cavity, and he's leaving the hospital.
The body will just sort that out.
Body's
an amazing thing.
See that?
Well, I think they did it knowingly. Is this you've just penciled it in for a later date?
Maybe they just thought the body would deal with it. You know, I had some stitches come out like 2 months after my surgery. You know, the body sorts itself out.
Food is medicine.
Yes.
I think if this guy eats enough burgers, you know,
burgers,
nachos, tacos, enchiladas, everything will just sort itself out. Sliders.
Tex-Mex.
Food is life. Yeah.
Have enough Tex-Mex and your body will reject the slug eventually.
Oh, Tex-Mex in Fargo?
Some of that good Fargo Tex-Mex?
I bet Fargo's got good Tex-Mex.
I'm trying to remember the one night that I stayed in Fargo, what I had for dinner there, and I might have had Tex-Mex.
Did you see the statue?
I saw, from my hotel room window, I had a view of the replica wood chipper that they have there. in Fargo. Oh, are you talking about the statue of Paul Bunyan?
Paul Bunyan, yeah.
I've seen two of them, but I can't remember where they were. They're all over America. They got also tons of those ones.
The wood chipper shouldn't be in Fargo. That takes place in...
Bemidji?
Is that
in Bemidji?
Up in Bemidji.
Hey, Fargo, that's a movie about a crime or two. And we look at those in Crime Watch.
Are the screams getting louder, or am I getting less numb to them somehow?
I think you're somehow getting less numb to them. I hate it when I see an opportunity to commit one crime that I think is going to improve my life, maybe make an opportunity for me and my family, but it sets into motion a series of events.
Yeah.
Oh, things spiral out of control. Get away from me? Yeah.
Oh.
That eventually ends in your death or death forever
your loved
imprisonment.
Ones, you know?
Yeah.
What? Is it explicitly in the movie what the massive debts that Jerry racked up are? Is it gambling?
No, I just get the figure that he's just bad with money.
Yeah, I thought it was more like fool. Struggling business and
yes,
like it's business all debts. It's all just getting away from him.
But yeah, like he doesn't own the car dealership though, so like I don't think he's a business owner. I think it's gambling. I think he's got a gambling problem.
Hmm.
This is from the Associated Press. Latvia charges two Lithuanians for counterfeiting aerial laundry products in organized criminal venture.
That's classic Lithuanian stuff, right?
Yeah, I don't want to cast aspersions, but...
It feels like one of those things where, like, Latvians and Lithuanians probably have this, like out-of-control racism that we can't possibly understand towards each other.
So if this is, like, a fraught issue... I can't tell the difference between Latvia, Lithuania, Liechtenstein. What's the other, the really tiny Luxembourg?
Luxembourg?
I don't know the difference between the four L.
Couldn't tell you.
All
countries
in Europe. At all. Yeah. They're all in Europe, right? Probably.
Slavic.
Eastern. Apart from Luxembourg. Some of them are Eastern. Some of them aren't.
Also, his Jerry's father owned the car dealership.
Does
and
he?
I think he's sort of, he's not so much in maybe in massive debt, more that he feels insignificant and wants money to kind of lift his social status and that sort of stuff. Because he's
got
kind
the
of a little weasel.
He wants
man.
To be out from under the yoke of his father-in-law. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Latvian police said Thursday that criminal proceedings have been initiated against two Lithuanian citizens suspected of counterfeiting aerial laundry detergent products and distributing them in significant quantities across Europe as part of an organized international crime venture. Now, this is a brand name, Ariel, like the mermaid.
Like the mermaid,
Not like these are detergents for planes.
Hey, can I just say really quickly, typical Lithuanian behavior.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I've been saying
we
I'm
all
not,
know what
I'm
they're
not saying
like.
That. I never have.
We know what they're like.
Yeah. We all know what the people of Lithuania and what the stuff in Lithuania is like.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. You know, if I said picture a Lithuanian person, you probably start by picturing somebody engaged in a detergent related scam. You know?
I would say you'd start with picturing someone from the Balkans, but Lithuania is very much not in the Balkans. It's up. It's
and
up
I knew
that
I knew that.
Europe map.
Well, I think probably an easy touch point is just picture like the most famous Lithuanian celebrity you know. Yeah.
Yes.
Who is, of course.
We'll all say that at the same time.
Have we actually Googled Lithuanian celebrities?
No,
on
we
this
did Polish celebrities a couple of weeks back.
Oh, it's so good. There's a Wikipedia article just called List of Lithuanians.
Yeah. Hit us with some Lithuanians.
Well, there's Osvaldas Balakauskas, the composer, of course.
Of course. Oh,
Robert Zemeckis.
Oh, some of these names look kind of Romanian to me. They have a Romanian mouthfeel.
Lithuania is not where I thought it was. It is
Hurley
above Poland.
Oh, they've got some famous cyclists. Surely you guys have got famous actors. What
Charles Bronson was born in 1921 in the US to Lithuanian parents.
Holy fuck, that's amazing. That's a good one. That's a great get for Lithuania. Hannibal Lecter is Lithuanian. The fictional character.
That's good to know.
Amazing, amazing connections here. Anthony Kiedis's grandfather is Lithuanian. But Kiedis is also of Greek, English, French, Dutch, and Mohican heritage. Okay.
The preview image I got from DuckDuckGoing Lithuanian celebrities is Virgilijus Alekna, who's the most successful Lithuanian discus thrower. I'll just drop his head into the show chat there. He looks like Trent Reznor with the X slider kind of gone wide.
Yeah.
They made a square of Trent Reznor.
They made normie Trent Reznor.
They cubed Trent Reznor's head.
Mm. I tell you what, they've got a few pretty good people in the descent, sort of Lithuanian descent category. John C. Reilly, Sean Penn, Pink, Dick Butkus. They got Brandon Flowers.
Oh.
It's fucking huge.
Lithuania claims Brandon Flowers?
Yeah.
Wow.
God damn. Robert Zadar, that is huge. Literally huge. That guy's massive. Jason Sudeikis.
Wow.
There are some people like Robert Zadar and John C. Reilly where you go, yeah.
That guy's Lithuanian.
Yeah, for sure.
Is that why Robert Zadar looked like that? It is not. He had a medical condition. Has. He's still alive, maybe.
Is he? Are you sure?
Nope. In November 2023, Latvian police, in cooperation with tax and customs officials, uncovered a large-scale operation in a residential area of Riga, the Latvian capital, where counterfeit aerial laundry detergents were packed and stored. The police shared photos of the discovery in a Facebook post. The discovery included a warehouse filled with 22 metric tons of fake washing powder and liquid detergent bearing the aerial trademark, along with packaging materials, labels, and false shipping documents.
How much money can there be in this?
Yeah, that's kind of why
It's not fake washing powder. It's just not brand.
It's bad, right? Or it's
just not good, right? It's just bargain washing powder, presumably. Yeah.
Well, or they've put another, like an inert chemical in there that doesn't really do anything.
Oh, they're cutting the washing powder?
Wow, I guess.
What are they cutting it with?
Like they're saying fake washing powder, which to me means it isn't washing powder, not that it's...
It surely is. It's surely just garbage.
It's got to be.
Yeah, what is, like, what white powder can you get on the cheap?
they're cutting the washing powder with cocaine just to make it go further, you know?
It would need to have the appearance of, like, washing powder, which means, like, a detergent-y smell. So you're at least putting some effort
into, like, washing powder adjacent at this point.
I think if you put a nice smelling powder into some hot water with some clothes, you're going to end up with like pretty clean clothes at the end.
Look, I think there is no greater betrayal than going to your local supermarket, believing that you are spending your hard-earned and deviously taxed earnings on a premium brand of laundry detergent, only to find that it's not going to get your whites white. And your colors bright in the way that you were led to believe.
True.
You know?
Yes.
Ultimate betrayal. I don't actually think there's a worse thing you could do to
somebody. Latvian police said Thursday it had completed an investigation into the case and that the two Lithuanian citizens born in 1978 and 1990. So what are we thinking? Like
I'm thinking an uncle-nephew situation.
I'm thinking uncle-nephew.
Yeah, uncle-nephew, uncle-nephew.
This is classic Lithuanian uncle-nephew crime.
Mm-hmm.
At a very low scale. These people are just not dreaming big.
No, just, but then no, Ben, I think you're looking at this all the wrong way. They're dreaming humble. It's a humble crime for humble people. It's modest crime
for simple people.
It's just, I'm not saying that.
Rustic crime for rustic people.
I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying they made a crime that was enough to get by.
Yeah.
And I really, what's the crime?
The counterfeiting products, I think, is the crime.
Okay.
Well, that's what the police
agree to disagree.
Yeah. They're facing charges for illegal production of counterfeit products, illegal use of a trademark, forgery of a mark, as well as deliberate use and distribution of a forged trademark. Are these guys like paying for warehousing and like distribution supply chains as well to sell like just not particularly effective laundry detergent?
Or are you like selling it on the streets, like bargainarial?
You like Jason Statham at the start of Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels doing like fun patter about like counterfeit laundry detergent? Buy some for your wife. Oh, someone else's wife. That's fun, isn't it? Oh, bloody hell, I've been nicked by the Rozzers. The suspects are believed to be part of an organized crime group. Probably the rest of them also uncles and nephews. Responsible for producing and distributing counterfeit aerial products across Europe. If convicted, they could face up to 6 years in prison.
Oh, the Lithuanian mafia are involved?
Oh, man, don't joke about those. Those guys are fucking serious.
Yeah.
I don't think you should go to prison for that.
I don't want to cast aspersions.
I don't think you should go to prison for this either. I don't think there's a lot of stuff you should. There's low on the list of the stuff you should go to prison for.
Yeah, I think this is one of the few things that I believe that the free market can kind of figure out on its own is like if your laundry detergent just doesn't make your clothes clean, probably stop buying it from that guy on the street with the fold-out table.
Yeah.
Maybe just like go to the shops, get it there.
Or if it fooled me once, shame on you.
Put in a drop of your Dr. Bronner's. Just a drop is enough, and they end up coming out smelling delightful.
Yeah, plus you learn something from the...
That's right. A universal ABC, harmonious whatevers. If convicted, they could face up to 6 years in prison. Latvian police estimate the criminal activities caused a financial damage of more than 739,000 euros to Procter & Gamble, the owner of the aerial brand.
That sounds like a load of shit to
Gamble,
me.
Gamble, who
sure.
cares?
Yeah, Procter & Gamble didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, okay, it's nearly $1 million. That's a fair amount of money. I think the margins are, like, slightly better on, like, cocaine.
Yeah, like, if you're willing to do crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take the risk. Like cocaine. Like,
if you're going to do 6 years in prison.
You've already got a warehouse
prison,
full of filler.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not just like wrap it up, put it in little baggies. Bam.
Police are calling it frothing.
This is just
every corner.
Because you know how there's that whole thing about a shitload of olive oils around the world are basically like mafia-owned businesses, and they're not actually olive oil.
Right,
they're not actually
like
olive oil. Yeah. It's from dates instead.
That's right.
They're getting it from capers.
It's not pure... extra virgin or something. It's like, it's regular virgin.
Yeah, regular style virgin.
Oh, they're this overstating is regular the style. Virginity of it.
I think they're overstating the virginity of it.
Oh, Christ. Yeah. But like, at least you can see that there's money in that because olive oil is really fucking expensive. That's probably a huge business.
I guess laundry powder is pretty expensive. Right?
Yeah.
The expensive ones.
I guess, but not if it's some fly-by-night on the street with a fold-up table. Although, like, are they selling this to supermarkets? Being
they
like,
can't
hey,
be.
I've got a pallet of aerial detergent. Don't call up your regular aerial detergent supplier because I'm going to give you a good deal.
Yeah, they called in sick. I'm the guy today.
Yeah, their knees called in sick. They got pushed out a third floor window.
They're parked outside. They're saying, hey, interest you in a little cheap aerial? Like, yeah, good. How many scoops? Okay, hold out your hands.
Yeah, pull out the pocket on your business shirt. Let me scoop some detergent. Goddamn.
Undo that drawstring. Hold that elastic open and let's get started.
Just make a little scoop with your t-shirt there.
Get home. How do you get a bucket? Trousers full of detergent for you. Hey, this was definitely an episode of the podcast Bunta Vista. Thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you for learning about the world with us. If you are of Latvian, Lithuanian, Liechtensteinian or Luxembourgian descent and you know stuff about those countries, you have some deep personal connections there, we would love to hear about it. You can always contact us at mailbag@buntavista.com. If there are some sort of fraught ethnic complications between Latvians and Lithuanians that we've made light of here, don't tell us about it because we'll forget. And then I'll start telling other people that Liechtenstein has a Luxembourg problem or whatever. I'll get them all confused.
Most importantly, if anything that we have said has thrown you into a violent rage, do not contact us.
Yes.
Keep your distance, please.
I'm very sensitive. I'll read one cross email.
And,
yeah. Like, externalize your anger to the people around you. Displacement. Displace it onto your friends and coworkers.
Just like a little bit to like your coworkers and friends and none on us.
Yeah. Sort of microdose your rage.
We kind of have rejection sensitive dysphoria.
Yes.
So.
Hey, really quick question. Do you want Ben to cry?
Yeah. And I will.
Yep.
I'm very bad at taking criticism.
The answer is no. Just keep it to yourself. You know,
I think most it's not all about you. Should sort of end with like a 2-minute plea to never criticize them.
Be nice. Be
if
nice
you want us. More of this, the podcast, not more of the asking not to be criticized, we do two of these a week. And if you're only listening to one, that's podcast you're leaving on the table.
Yeah.
For about the price of a beer a month.
Yep.
You can get
if you're listening
episode.
To both, that's money in the
that's
bank.
That's money in the bank. Yeah.
That's right. Which you can take to the bank.
Yep.
To the different to a different bank.
Send it to us and it goes into our bank. And hey, that's money in the bank.
Correct. Thank you so much. We will see you next week or on the bonus episode. Bye.
Bye. Bye.